Our reading this morning is from the book of Matthew. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, whether you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will God not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive after these things, and indeed your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you as well. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Take a moment to pray in silence for the person sitting to your right, that in fellowship and words spoken and in the silence and the music, they may hear an encouraging word from God today. And then take a moment to pray for the person on your left, that whatever they're experiencing in life, God might speak into their spirit today. And pray for yourself that you may be open to receive encouragement, challenge, nurture, strength through this worship this morning. Amen. We call this Commitment Sunday, so I want to take a minute to make sure everybody knows what we do on Commitment Sunday. A Commitment Sunday is when we ask you to make your financial commitment or pledge to the mission and ministry of Foundry Church for the year ahead. In everybody's pews, there should be commitment cards. If you don't have one, later in the service, I'll call on the ushers to distribute them. Later in the service, I'll do it. And we'll invite you to make your financial commitment to the mission and ministries of Foundry Church in a time of silence and prayer at the end of the sermon. I wanted you to know that that was coming up. Okay, if you don't have a commitment card, can't find one in the pew, the ushers are coming. So I would invite you to take one and have it near you during this time of my talk. If you're a guest or a visitor here this morning, I invite you to take a card, and at the end of the service, I invite you to fill it out and take it back to your home church, wherever you worship on a weekly basis, and put it in the offering plate next Sunday. And I'm pretty confident that no one will scold you. All of the mission and ministry that happens through Foundry Church is only possible because of your financial support, as well as your giving of time and talent and energy and prayers. We need both. If we don't have your financial support, we cannot maintain the infrastructure that enables us all to give our time and talent and leadership ability and service. If you only give money, there will not be enough money to do the mission and ministry that this church is called to do, unless you also commit yourself to give your time and your talent and abilities. So we're asking you for both this morning. We're doing a commitment on the financial side. I need you to know that we are not an endowed church. We do not have an endowment. Sometimes I wish we would, and most of the time I'm happy we don't. because I've seen too often in endowed churches where the level of commitment of the congregation begins to sink. And as the scripture tells us, our caring, our hearts tend to follow our giving, our commitment. So we are dependent upon your regular tithes and offering. If you stop giving, in a few months, we will not be able to pay our bills. If you decrease your giving, we cut programs and mission and ministry and staff. If you increase your giving, we can support more mission and ministry. So I just want you to understand that. So because it's Commitment Sunday, and in a few minutes I'm going to invite you to give a commitment, financial commitment, pledge, estimate of giving to Foundry Church, or if you're not part of Foundry, to whatever church you're part of. Generally on this Sunday of the year I talk about money, and I want to talk about money, finances, a bit again this year. This is not hard to do because Jesus talked a lot about money. I've not actually sat down and counted it, but I found a report from someone who has. You can find it at wikianswers.com. Someone wrote WikiAnswers and said, "Did Jesus ever talk about money?" And WikiAnswers says, "Jesus talked about money more than he did heaven and hell combined. Jesus talked about money more than anything else except the kingdom of God. 11 of 39 parables talk about money. 1 out of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke talks about money. Jesus talked a lot about money." So it is very hard to be a follower of Jesus without thinking about money and financial matters. At a personal level, at a congregational level, at a societal level, at a national level, and at a global level, it's hard to be a follower of Jesus without thinking about money. If you want a religious experience that does not include thinking about money, Christianity will be a very, very hard religion to do it in, because Jesus talked a lot about money. There's a section in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where he talks about money repeatedly. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is a collection of his core teachings. If you want to know in summary what Jesus' basic core teachings are, you read the Sermon on the Mount. There is a church not far away from here in Columbia Heights where, until a few years ago, if you wanted to join the church, part of the membership class requirements were to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. It was a small church, but one of the requirements to join the church was to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, because it is the concentrated core teachings of Jesus. There is a section of the Sermon on the Mount that you will find in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus talks about money. He talks first about giving alms to the poor. When you do it, you shouldn't do it for applause. Your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. But you should give money to the poor, alms to the poor, but you should not do it for applause. And then in the 6th chapter, Jesus talks about not storing up treasures on earth, but in heaven. One of the most important verses in my life this last 20 years has been his verse from this chapter, where he says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your passion will follow where you invest your treasure." And then he talks about us not being able to serve God and money at the same time. You cannot serve two masters, he says. Either you will love one and hate the other, so you cannot serve both God and money in your life. Then after talking about money for a time, Jesus goes almost immediately from this discussion about money to a discussion about worry. And he begins teaching about worry. I never quite caught this progression in the Sermon on the Mount before. Jesus has a collection of teachings about money, and he goes right from teaching about money to teaching about worry. And what he says about worry is, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Jesus tells us not to worry, and then he gives us two examples. The first one is the example of birds. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor do they store food in barns, but they always have enough to eat. God always provides for them. Your heavenly Father, your heavenly Mother provides for the birds. So how unlikely is it that God will let you starve if God makes sure that the birds have enough to eat? And it really is true. Birds do not starve to death. There are other ways that birds are in danger. There are predators in the world who will attack them, but birds do not starve to death. There's always enough food for birds. We live in Capitol Hill, we don't have enough sun to have a lawn, but alongside of our house, we have basically bushes and mulch. And we put out a bird bath so that there would be water for birds. And we researched the kind of bushes that are most likely to attract birds, and we planted those in our yard. We researched it on Wikipedia. And one of my favorite things to do is to sit on our side porch in the spring when the robins come. And these last 3 years, we've had a pair of cardinals who have come in the spring. And the robins come and drink in our bird bath, and then they like to dig in the mulch and pull out worms. And the cardinals seem to eat the little berries off of the bushes that we planted. And I can sit there for time on end watching the birds, and there's always enough for them to eat. There's a nasty neighborhood cat who every spring leaves one or two birds just outside our side door. There are predators in the world that birds need to be afraid of, but birds always can find enough to eat, even in the city. This morning, walking from home, I walked through Thomas Circle, and there on the sidewalk was a collection of sparrows eating a crunched potato chip that someone had dropped and fallen. Even in the heart of the city that's mostly full of cement and macadam, there's always enough for birds to eat. There's always enough. So Jesus' first teaching is, don't worry about what you will eat or drink, because there is always enough. And then his second teaching is, consider the lilies of the field, how beautiful they are. They don't spin or weave or sew or make clothing, but they're more beautiful than Solomon in all of his finest raiment. And Jesus' point here is a little different than there being always enough. Jesus' point here is that if you are not beautiful, all of the clothes in the world that you can buy at Neiman Marcus are not going to make you beautiful. If you are not inherently, internally beautiful, you can dress yourself up in anything you want to dress yourself up in, and it's not going to make you beautiful. God has created you already inherently beautiful. And all of the finest garment in the world isn't going to make you more beautiful. Oh, I didn't mean to look at the women. All of the fine, you're inherently beautiful. So Jesus' point is that worrying about what we eat, drink, or wear is, I think his point is that worrying about what we eat, drink, or wear, worrying about resources, is the enemy of investing our treasure in heaven. Worry about finances is the enemy of generosity. And the way that we become more generous is to learn to trust in our Heavenly Mother, our Heavenly Father, who provides for his or her creatures. And if we can learn to trust in God, we will become more generous. Now, Jesus does add this. Jesus does say that there is something that we should worry about. It's not what we eat or drink or wear. He says, strive, seek first for the kingdom of God and its righteousness, its justice. We should be concerned about the kingdom of God on earth. We should be concerned about God's presence, about God's realm of justice. We should be concerned about a world in which everybody has enough to eat, everybody has a place to live, everyone has access to health care, everyone has access to a decent education. If we focus our energy on a world of justice where no one starves, where no one is homeless, where no one is unhealthy, where no one is unenlightened or uneducated, if we worry about creating that kind of world and invest our resources in that kind of world, then we will need to worry less about our own selfish, our own self-needs, our own worries about our own security and our own well-being. So Jesus says, if we focus our energies on worrying about the kingdom of God and working for the kingdom of God, then we will become less anxious about our own sense of insecurity and vulnerability. Focus on the kingdom of God, and you, when we start to worry about money, focus more on the kingdom of God and a world that is just and safe for everyone. And we will worry less about our own security and need and financial fears. Worry makes us selfish. Worry makes us selfish. The more insecure we feel, the more we focus on our insecurity, the more selfish we become. I was talking a while ago to some parents who became foster parents, and they became foster parents of a child who had grown up in a very, very difficult situation where the child would not know whether there would be food on the table for the next meal, would not know whether there would be food in the refrigerator the next day. And the parents told me that at the dinner table, he would sneak food into his pockets. And they would find in hidden places in his room piles of food. So they said what they had to say to him at every meal was, we're going to eat again this afternoon. And then after we eat at noontime, we're going to eat this evening. And there will always be enough food. There will always be enough food. And they told me that it took literally months and months before he trusted that the food would be there so that he stopped hiding it in his clothes and under his bed. Some of us are like him. Some of us are like him. We are scared to trust that there will be enough, and it makes us hoard. And it makes us build up bank accounts of more than we need. And it makes us build up accounts in brokerage firms where thieves will break in and steal. I want to invite you to think about your commitment to the mission and ministry of Foundry Church in the year ahead. I want to invite you to take out your estimate of a giving card. I want to suggest that this is a good time to think about all your giving. I certainly do not expect you to give all of your money that you give away to Foundry Church. I think this is a good time to think sort of strategically in your life where you feel God is calling you to give a portion of your resources. Jane and I, generosity is a journey. Jane and I started many years ago saying that we would increase our commitment to our local church every year, and we have, and Jane, you know, we got our statement from last year's giving, and Jane showed it to me and said, well, you know what, we're way over 10% now, but that's okay. We also give to other things. Our goal is, because we're very blessed, is to give at least 20% of our income away. We try to give half to our church, and then we give to other efforts on behalf of a just and compassionate world that we believe in. I encourage you to think about all of the things you might want to support over the coming year. When you think about the part of your support that you'd like to designate for Foundry Church, that's the purpose of this card. I do want to mention, some of you know that we started a capital campaign last year, and some of you made pledges to that capital campaign, for which we're very, very grateful. This is not the capital campaign. This is your commitment to our operating budget that we use to pay the bills every day and to support the mission and ministry that happens on a daily basis. So this is in addition to your capital campaign. You should have or may have received a letter with a pledge card in the mail, so maybe you've thought about it and brought it with you. If you have that, please, I invite you to get it out. If you did not bring one, we're going to give you time to think about it and to fill out this commitment card today, and to indicate that. And then in a few minutes, I will invite you to come forward. I'm going to invite those who have already committed. As of the end, some of our leaders committed early, and then we received commitments at our 9:30 service. So as of now, we have 77 commitments, and the total commitment for that is $423,000+. And the average commitment of our congregation so far is just a little more than $100 a week. So the average people who have already committed have committed a little more than $100 a week. So my invitation after we have a prayer will be for those who have already made their pledge to come forward. If you've already send your card into the office or pledged online, take a moment to stand at the communion railings or to kneel, say a prayer, and then go upstairs and eat cake. And then for those of you who have already completed your card, I'll invite you to bring it forward, place it in the baskets that are here. I think there's also a basket in the balcony. Take a moment for prayer and to make a spiritual commitment, and then go and join in the time of fellowship upstairs. People are invited, if you'd like to stay and sit in the congregation as long as you'd like to think about this. We like it to be a prayerful decision, not a casual decision. And when you're ready, sit here as long as you like. There'll be some quiet music. And when you're ready, take your card upstairs and take your card, put it in the basket, and come upstairs and enjoy a time of celebration. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of justice. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to be pastor of a congregation where we teach our children a vision of church and world that is inclusive and where everyone is welcomed and affirmed. I'm very grateful to be a part of a church that when people come to worship, they do not hear other people bashed. If I ever do that, there are so many people in this congregation that would let me know that I'm very careful. It's not a congregation where anybody's going to be bashed. And I'm very, very grateful that this is a congregation that is deeply engaged in ending homelessness, working on a society that's not violent, working to try to end the prison, the cradle-to-prison pipeline, working at being present to improve the educational opportunities in Haiti, working to end discrimination against LGBTQ people within the church and world. So we invite you to support us as the Spirit moves you to do so, to support our mission and ministry. We'll have a prayer. If you were already pledged or ready to pledge, come forward. Take your time if you need the time. And then let's all have cake together. Let us pray. We offer up to you, O God, the mission and ministry of this church. We're grateful for this place you've given us as our headquarters. We're grateful for the mission field around us and throughout the world. We're grateful for the generosity of people who throughout the years and decades have supported the mission and ministry here, often sacrificially. So we ask that we might invest ourselves again in the kingdom of God and of God's justice, and that we might have the grace, and this isn't easy, that we might have the grace in our world to trust you enough so that we can give for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.